Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
This is my life. One loss after another. Just the persistence of it. It's just, there's no relief.
I'm on ODSP with illness, and I can't afford the rents that are out there, and I truly will be homeless.
I have never rent evicted anyone in my 10 years. I am a very, very nice landlord.
You know, I characterize the passing of these bylaws as a love letter to Hamiltonians who rent.
The city of Hamilton has had a 983% increase in the number of rent eviction notices, or N13s, between 2017 and 2022. And while rent evictions are legal, not all of them are legitimate. In January, city councilors unanimously voted for a bad faith rent eviction bylaw that's set to begin in 2025. The bylaw is the first of its kind in Ontario. Only one other exists in Canada, in New Westminster, British Columbia. It's expected that license fees will cover about 10% of the costs to run and staff the program. Hamilton taxpayers will cover the rest, at approximately $800,000 a year. Hamilton Ward 3 councillor Nurin Dernan has spent more than 5 years working towards passing the anti-rent eviction bylaw.
I believe that Hamilton has one of the highest rates of rent eviction in the province because we've had a really interesting story to tell in terms of the rental market. You know, 10 years ago, Hamilton was a place where you could afford to buy a home, and many people came not only to buy their own homes, but to develop their own rental property portfolios. So we had a lot of land speculation come in. We had a lot of people buying up properties because they were much more affordable to do here in Hamilton than they were in other parts of the GTHA. So this bylaw is called the Renovations License and Relocation Bylaw, and it requires landlords 7 days prior to issuing an N13 to apply for a license with the City of Hamilton. And in that license, they have to give us some very basic information about the apartment or unit that they're about to renovate. The number of units in the building, the caliber of the work, the description of the work, as well as some certified professional backup that describes the nature of the renovations that are taking place so that we can have some assurances as a municipality that if it's plumbing, if it's electrical, etc., that has been appropriately vetted by a regulated, certified practitioner. Who can then put their name and professional credibility behind the fact that the unit needs to be vacated in order for the work to take place. The other step that the landlord is responsible for in the license application process is to then notify the tenants of their basic rights. So we have put together a tenant rights and protection package that we can provide to the landlord. And it's their obligation to provide that information to tenants. So if not directly into their hands, then definitely post it in the building in a common area where everybody can see it. The next step is that the landlord is obligated, as they are under the provincial regulation, to provide a relocation. So if you're expecting the tenant to vacate the apartment in order for you to facilitate this work, then you need to make sure that the tenant that you're asking to vacate, that they are not burdened any further. So you have an obligation to temporarily house the tenant that you're kicking out for the duration of the renovation, or provide a rent supplement, top up, if you will, in order to facilitate the tenants to find a location elsewhere while the work is happening. And reminding tenants that they have the right, the first right of refusal to return to that unit. Should a landlord not comply in the City of Hamilton, they will be charged up to $500 per unit per day for being out of compliance.
As part of our upcoming budget, we're going to create a Canadian Renters Bill of Rights. It would create a nationwide standard for lease agreements, give renters a clear history of apartment pricing so they can bargain fairly, and make sure they have more agency We're also going to launch a new legal aid fund that will protect tenants against unfairly rising rents, rent evictions, and bad landlords.
Daniel Chin is a real estate investor and landlord in Hamilton.
80% of all rental units were built before 1980. And of course, when you do the math, that's more than 40, 50, 60 years old. And most of these buildings require a lot of renovations for it to be in good repair today. Hence, in that time period, as you mentioned, 2019 to present date, there has been a spike in the N13 notices. Regarding bad faith rent evictions, we don't condone it. And when you have the new imposed bylaw, rent eviction bylaw, which passed in January this year, it creates a lot more problem for all landlords, even the good ones. And that's not a good thing. The cost of licensing fee, $715 per unit and $125 to renew annually. Most of these things that were mentioned in the rent eviction bylaw in Hamilton was already stipulated in Bill 97, Helping Home Buyers and Protecting Tenants Act, as you just mentioned. And as mentioned, it will create a lot of problems in addition to the existing ones. So when you look at the rent eviction bylaw, it will cost the city $1 million to implement, but only 10% cost recovery. But in terms of post-implementation, the whole thing will be a lot of problems. It's not as simple as you get an engineering report, you get the building permits, and then you get the approval, you spend the time, the money to follow through on renovating. And post-renovation, the tenant has a right of refusal to move back into the rental unit that is totally renovated and paying the original price that they were paying before. Any property owner would look at that as it's not too sound, it's not reasonable. They may consider simply just deciding to sell.
Lauren McMillan has been living in his East Hamilton apartment for 10 years. He's been fighting a bad faith rent eviction.
In October of last year, I received an N13 notice from my landlords, and it stated that I had 3 months to move out because they wanted to, demolish the unit and do renovations, and I couldn't be here and wasn't allowed to come back. I feel that it's a bad faith rent eviction, and because of repairs that I had requested and ended up with property standards and the fire inspector forcing them to do things like put in proper fire doors and all this stuff. The landlord didn't want to do that, and we believe that it was retaliation and as well to double the rents, which is probably even more so their incentive. I'm on ODSP with illness, and I can't afford the rents that are out there, and I truly will be homeless if I'm evicted. And there's almost no shelter spaces and no affordable housing in Hamilton.
Erin Fabello is awaiting the outcome of her landlord-tenant board hearing. She received a rent eviction notice in 2022 after residing in her unit for 10 years.
They were offering us $3,000 plus 2 months, 3 months rent to leave. One tenant took it. Another offer came a few months after that for $5,000 to leave within 3 months. Two tenants took it, left us with 9 tenants. Then last fall, we got our collective offer to settle. It was $70,000 split up between all of the remaining tenants, which would be a payout. of $7,777.77 each. And there was a bit of a, we had to either, I don't want to say it was like a caveat, but we, in order for it to happen, everybody had to be on the same page. Everybody had to accept the offer or it was going to be pulled off the table. There was talk of asbestos, which is the first time I've ever heard about it, how they're concerned about our health and safety. But I don't really see any concern for our health and safety because nobody's been out to do any maintenance or even clean the halls or wash the doors. It's been really stressful. I've lost a lot. Since 2018, it's just been one loss after another. And I lost my mom a few years ago, and I'm still recovering from that. And I just feel like this is my life, one loss after another. Just the persistence of it, it's just, there's no relief. And to know that next is my home. And I work from home, so if I have no home to work from, I have no job.
Myself, along with ACORN, I was a delegate, and we delegated to tell our stories and convince the counselors that it was the right thing to do. It will prevent a lot of bad faith rent evictions that are just simply to double, triple the rent. And it's put some power back in the tenant. Hands again.
No, I'm going to the city council and delegating in front of them, and you know, this shouldn't have taken so long to actually do something about it. I mean, all you have to do is look out your front window and there's tents everywhere. I mean, people sleeping on benches, people sleeping in their cars. And it's great that, you know, Hamilton's passed this anti-rent eviction bylaw, but what does it do for the people who just poured out their pain and all their trauma to all the city councilors? How is that helping us? I understand it comes into effect in 2025, but what about now? It's all about now. And that's great moving forward, but now is the time for help. Every one of us who delegated, we're left in the air, and it's basically, sorry about your luck. That's how it feels. Like, they could maybe the city feels they can afford to lose a few more people to the streets.
There's over 200,000 renters in Hamilton. And in my ward alone, over 50% of my tenants or my residents are tenants. And so, you know, I think there is a misconception that elected office should only represent homeowners. The reality at the end of the day is we represent every resident in our communities. And when you've got, when I have the reality that majority of my neighbors are renters, and they've been sharing their anecdotes and their experiences with council since 2019, we have an obligation to no longer just provide a microphone for people to air out their grievances, but to really reconcile and challenge ourselves as a municipality to identify what are the levers that are available to our level of government to reduce the harm that is being created in our communities, to make sure that we can protect affordable housing, and more importantly, create sustainable, resilient communities and enable those of our tenants who live in our neighborhoods and who've been contributing so richly to our communities that they have a right to stay in place.
The effects on the rent eviction bylaw on small landlords or the mom and pop landlords or the retail investors, if you want to call it, it would actually hurt them a lot more. And these are just the everyday Canadians that are working a job. Yes, it is an investment for them, but in some cases it is to reduce some's monthly expense, and they also have to work a job at the same time. So when they face these challenges, it's much harder and it makes them think otherwise of actually being a property owner and simply just either becoming a renter or owning just their principal residence?
Well, I'd like to tell people that if you've got a rent eviction notice, chances are your landlord just wants to double or triple your rent. You've done nothing wrong. As scary as it is, there's a lot of help. It's your home, and a lot of people, they've been at their homes for 20, 30 years, and it's a devastating thing to happen. So I just recommend that people fight back and organize. Make a tenant group in your building.
Buckle up. It's a bumpy ride. This is not something I would wish on my worst enemy.
I really do believe that once we're able to staff up and roll out the programs, we'll have consistency across the city, ensuring that the homes that are available to our renting population are safe, that they are designed and protected in a way that their rights will be upheld, and that as a municipality, we have our eyes on this. We're paying attention, and now we'll have the data and information that we need from our landlord community in order to make sure that the appropriate boxes are being checked and that compliance is happening, and we'll have the ability to enforce if we need to.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.